want to direct your attention again to the book of Galatians, and I'm going to read the last three verses of chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. This is a continuation of last Sunday's message, and as we read, it says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. The book of Galatians is not written to lost people, but the book of Galatians is written to save people. It's written to brethren. Paul is addressing the brethren. And brethren is a reference to someone who is not just saved. I know that in the churches today that many use the term loosely, that we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. But the Scriptures refer to brethren as something more intense than just being part of the family. But in this passage that we just read, it says in verse 16, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy. The phrase as many as is a limiting phrase in the fact that not all will do it. Not all will walk according to this rule. The book of Galatians sets down a rule or a line or a mark for us to live by. And not all of God's children will do that. In other words, that's one of the struggles that Paul had in his day, is because of the influence of Judaism in his day, which was the only way to be saved in his day before Jesus Christ came on the scene. If you wanted to be saved, you had to become a Jew. You had to submit yourself to circumcision. You went to the temple. And this was the plan of salvation for all of the Jew and Gentile alike. Many people think that that Gentiles could not be saved, but let me tell you, Gentiles have always been able to be saved. And one fine example of that is when Jonah went to Nineveh. Nineveh was a Gentile city. And when Jonah preached in Nineveh, the whole city responded in putting their confidence in the God of Jonah and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for that matter. So Paul is saying, brethren, I know that many of you will not walk according to this rule. The word walk, by the way, is to march in rank. And the word rule is a line. There's many that will not walk according to the dictates of the book of Galatians. And if we will, we can be assured of peace and mercy. Now the word walk in Galatians 5:16 is a reference to the way we live. It's not the same word as in Galatians 6:16. It says, this I say then, walk in or by the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. One of the things that I have discovered in studying the book of Galatians is that the Spirit is not a reference to the Holy Spirit. In fact, the word Holy Spirit is not found in the book of Galatians. The Spirit of the book of Galatians is the Spirit of sonship. It's the Spirit in which Jesus Christ lived His life day after day. And His Spirit was a dedicated Spirit. He did not live in the spirit of fear. He lived in the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we can have the spirit of fear. We can have a rebellious spirit. And the spirit that is being referred to in the book of Galatians is the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will look at that briefly here in just a moment. So if we will live in the Spirit of the Lord, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you live like the Lord Jesus Christ lived, you're not going to submit to the flesh and the things of the flesh. In Galatians 5:25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also march in the Spirit. The words walking or living or in the Spirit, we need to march to that line that or the example that Jesus Christ set for us. Now, it is written to brethren. The word brother occurs 11 times in the book of Galatians. And in fact, in Galatians 1:2, it says, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. In other words, it's brethren writing brethren. Paul was a brother. He had a desire to do the things that pleased the Lord. And he was, the brethren that were with him, they were writing those in the churches of Galatia to have the same mind as they had and as the Lord had. In Luke chapter 8, we find that a brother is defined in verse 21. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. A brother is one who hears, and this is in the present tense, who hears the word of God and obeys it. There's a lot of people, a lot of God's kids are not really interested in the word. They're not interested in the Gideons distributing the word. They're not hearing it, and neither are they obeying it themselves. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, it says, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. A brother is one who has a heart to do the will of the Father. And then we find out the benefits of doing the will of the Father in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. A brother is one who desires to enter into the kingdom of the heavens. And he knows that by doing the will of the Father, he will. Now, what does it mean to enter the kingdom of heaven? Well, remember that what Jesus told Nicodemus, he says, if you're born from above, you will see the kingdom. There is a difference between seeing and entering the kingdom. When you go to Washington, D.C., you can see the White House. But if you're qualified, you get to enter the White House and be the president or enter into the administration. If we will do the will of the Father, we will enter into the administration of our Lord Jesus Christ. When? In the kingdom of the heavens, the rule of the heavens over the earth. He will be Lord of lords and King of kings. My desire is to be a Lord and a King. And if I'm going to be a Lord or a King in His coming kingdom, what do I have to do? I have to do the will of the Father. I have to be obedient to the word that I am listening. And this is the spirit that Jesus Christ had while He was here on the earth. In fact, one of the things that we see in Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, it says he was writing to the telling them about those that were about the coming of the Lord to redeem them, that is Israel, that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Notice the word we is included here. That includes Paul. That means Paul was in the family. It also included the brethren that were with him, we. And it also included the brethren and the churches of Galatia, that they might receive. That's subjunctive. The word might implies that they might not receive. What is it they will, that they might not receive or that they could receive? It's the adoption of sons. The word adoption is a is a problem, because when you think, a lot of people think we're adopted into the family of God, and the phrase adoption of sons comes from one Greek word, and it means to place as a son. We are not adopted into the family. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're born into the family, and you adoption doesn't even apply. But just as in a Jewish family, a child who is a male child will one day go through what is known as bar mitzvah. What is bar mitzvah? It's recognizing a son or a male child as a son. He has prestige in the family. He has position in the family. And that's what we're looking for as a child of God, is one day we will be recognized as a son of God. It's the sons of God that rule over the earth. In Mark chapter, let me continue in verse 6. It says, because ye are sons, actually, ye are walking or living as sons, because we're not sons of God yet, we're still children. If we were a son, we would be ruling and reigning, but we are not yet ruling and reigning. God has, if we live like a son, in other words, we live responsibly, we live maturely, we live in the spirit of the Son of our Lord Jesus, or the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father will send forth that Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It says, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. What does that mean? Well, in Mark chapter 14, verse 36, Jesus said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt. This demonstrates the spirit of sonship. This demonstrates the spirit that God would send to or give to us who are behaving maturely like His Son behaved. In John chapter 6, verse 38, we see the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ when He said, For I came down from heaven not to do My own will, but to do the will of Him that sent Me. Who sent the Lord Jesus Christ? His Father did. Jesus was interested in doing whose will? The will of the Father. Did Jesus Christ enter into the kingdom of heavens? He sure did. He will rule and reign from the heavens over the earth. One day. Today He's our high priest. He's not ruling and reigning today. He is our high priest. He's interceding on our behalf. So He is one who is doing the will of the Father. In Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 15, it says, Those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of sonship is the ability to say, I know that all things are possible to Thee. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done. That's the spirit that is found in the book of Galatians. It's the spirit of doing the will of the Father. It's the spirit of doing that which pleases God. And it will bring benefits. And we want benefits in the kingdom. We want benefits. We want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and hear, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And not be scolded because we were disobedient, we were rebellious, we lived in fear. We took the talent and buried it. Remember the servant who had the talent and he buried it? And he said, Lord, here's your talent I've buried and kept for all these years because I was afraid. God has not given us that spirit. So there are benefits for those who will live in the Spirit of His Son. Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3 tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It was the will of the Father for Jesus Christ to endure the cross, despising the shame. And what was the benefit? To sit down at at the right hand of the throne of God. And we're to consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against themselves, lest we be wearied and faint in our minds or souls. We can become faint. We can become weary in doing what? The will of the Father. This is the reason why we are encouraged to submit to the Spirit of His Son. In Revelation 3, verse 21, it says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne." Did you know that we can become wearied and faint in being overcomers? Just being saved does not guarantee you or I of being an overcomer. In fact, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 7, it says, "He that overcometh," present tense, "shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." That's future. I'm not a son now, I'm a child. As a child, I'm his servant. I'm here to do his will. But I am to continue to do his will until he calls me home. And if I am faithful, I will be an overcomer. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, verse 17 through 19, it says, "If children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." We can deny him and escape suffering for Jesus Christ. Peter is the prime example of that. Peter denied him, and he even changed his language. He put in a few curse words he wouldn't have to be crucified. He didn't want that. But anyway, Paul goes on and says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God have not yet been manifest." Well, let me tell you, suffering for Christ's sake now is nothing to be compared when the sons of God will be revealed and the glory that they shall enjoy. Did you know if you're a king or a lord, you're going to have a certain amount of glory? Kings have glory. Lords have glory. Jesus Christ has more glory. And so we're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And in fact, in Romans 8:23, it says, "Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for what?" For what? To be placed as a son. This is future, not now. And it says, "To wit, the redemption of our body." When will we be placed in positions of sonship? When I get a new body. Not this body, but a new one. And I won't get that new body until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And if I'm an overcomer, and I have been faithful, and I have submitted to the Spirit of His Son, then I will be qualified to be placed in a position of a son and recognized as a son in the family with honors and responsibilities that go with it. Now, this Spirit, by the way, is ministered. This is not the Holy Spirit that we receive when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 2 and through 5, it says, "This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? if it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Paul ministered to them this Spirit. And this Spirit is on the basis of faith. What is faith? That's a lifestyle that pleases God. We're not talking about salvation. In fact, he's talking about those, he says, you receive this Spirit. Are you going to receive this Spirit in vain? Is it going to be a waste? Are you going to waste the sufferings that you have gone through because you want to get back into the things of the law, to the things of the flesh? Paul was concerned about it. But anyway, this Spirit is ministered to, was ministered to the church at Galatia. I want to continue in Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9, where it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." In other words, if you sow to your flesh now, you're going to reap corruption at the judgment seat of Christ. That's basically what that's telling us. "But he that soweth to the Spirit now shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Well, life everlasting is not a reference to salvation, because you don't reap salvation. You receive salvation when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not talking about getting saved. The Spirit that you sow to here is the Spirit of His Son. And that Spirit is the Spirit of saying, "Abba, Father, not my will but thine be done." And it continues. And he continues, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." What are we going to reap? Life for the coming age. What age is this? It's the millennial age. And I just got through reading to you out of Hebrews chapter 12 and in verses 2 and 3, particularly in verse 3, where we are exhorted not to be weary and faint in our minds. We can faint. And we can faint when it comes to ministering to the Spirit. Now, this cannot be a reference to the Holy Spirit, because you sure can't minister or sow to the Holy Spirit. But you can sure sow to the Spirit of His Son, that is, to do the will of the Father. I can relate to that. Now, age-lasting life. This is a problem for a lot of people. And in Mark chapter 10, in verse 28 and 30, it says, "Peter began to say unto him," the Lord, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And the Lord responded to him, and was what he was asking. He says, "Lord, we've left everything and followed you. What are we going to get?" That's what he said. "What are we going to get?" And the Lord said, "You shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mother, children, and lands with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life," or age-lasting life. When does that take place? In the millennial age. Life for the age, or age-lasting, or eternal life, so to speak, as is translated in the King James, is something we get in the kingdom age, the millennial age. And that has to do with ruling and reigning with Christ. In Romans chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor," and it's translated immortality, it would be better translated incorruption, "and eternal life," or age-lasting life. This word age-lasting life actually goes in the first part of that verse. In the Greek text, it's in the first part of that verse. And what this is saying to us is this: we labor to have life for the age. We labor and we are faithful so that we can stand in His presence approved and enter into the kingdom and to rule and reign with Christ. That's what eternal life is. It is to rule and reign with Christ. And Paul told Timothy to encourage the man of God to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called. Can you imagine a man of God having to lay hold on salvation? It's not the way it works. The man of God lays hold on life for the coming age. We've got to hold on to it. We've got to come to the knowledge of that truth and hold on to that. Because if we will, then we will have our priorities straight. Then in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. If we're ministering to the Spirit of sonship, we're going to be crying, Abba, Father. We're going to be wanting to do the will of the Father. We're going to be reminding ourselves the benefits of doing the will of the Father. And we're going to also remind ourselves the consequences of not doing the will of the Father would mean to be denied entrance into the kingdom. Being denied entrance into ruling and reigning with Christ. Not being denied as a child. Once you're in the family of God, that can never be taken away from you. But you can be disinherited like Ishmael was, like Esau was, like Manasseh was. You can be denied an inheritance. Even Reuben, because of the sin in his life, was denied the birthright, even though he was the firstborn. And so there is the consequences of not pleasing God. Now, I included last Sunday Galatians 5:22. And this is an indicator, I believe, to each of us when we are living in the Spirit of His Son. In Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, or in other words, the fruit of sonship, not the Holy Spirit, is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. These are evidences to me in my life that I am doing the will of the Father, that I am living the life that the Son of God lived when He cried, Abba, Father, not my will but Thine be done. I'm going to have joy. I'm going to love the brethren. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to be patient or long-suffering. I'm going to be kind and gentle to other people. There's going to be goodness in my life, and I am going to be pleasing God. That's what the faith is in there for. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Well, I just felt like I needed to get this concluded in our thoughts this morning as a continuation of last Sunday. And so we're going to continue to support the thoughts that I have given this morning as we study through the book of Galatians. Because in the book of Galatians is an encouragement for all of us to live a life as Jesus Christ lived when He was here, and it qualified Him to rule and reign with His Father or at His Father's right hand. May the Lord help us to value that lifestyle and one day stand in His presence approved because we obeyed. Father, I just thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You're the one who applies the thoughts to each of our hearts. We know, Lord, that sometimes we have so much baggage on our thoughts that it's hard to really grasp the truth that is presented in Your Word. And we pray, Father, that You would help us and bless us and encourage us as we open Your Word and study it. We pray, Lord, that one day we will stand in Your presence approved because we have lived like Your Son during our lifetime, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Bless the message to each of our hearts this morning. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.